Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio and also on Rapture Ready Radio, which is also on Blog Talk Radio. And there's quite a few wonderful ministries there, several different ministries there, especially Jackie Alnor and her Scattered Sheep Report. So welcome, everybody. And today we have a special guest. Our brother, the Wolf Tracker, is back tracking wolves, and we'll be talking about the Reformation, and we're celebrating the 500th year after the Reformation coming up, and so we'll be talking about why the modern-day church is rejecting, for the most part, rejecting the Reformation, rejecting finishing the Reformation, and why after 500 years of trying to reform the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are people still buying miracles? Why? Didn't Luther protest the selling of miracles, the selling of indulgences, protesting, paying God off to do things for you? And yet, we still are seeing it done today. So, anyway, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:5-7, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we're also seeing a explosion of this whole kind of Catholic thing coming into so-called Pentecostal churches where they are ordaining people, men and women, as bishops, and they wear the Catholic outfits, the little beanies and the robes and the lace dresses, the men. And they wear rings, and you have to kiss their ring, and I don't know. They need a reality check, because now, I can't imagine. I don't know if you can imagine, but can you imagine getting up in the morning and you go to your closet and you're a man and you pick out a dress to wear and you pick out this purple dress or a red dress and then you put sashes on and then you put a little lace top on. I don't know. Something wrong with that. But anyway, I'm going to bring my guest on, Brother Wolf Tracker.
God bless you, Sister Susan, and thank you for having me on your broadcast today.
Yes, always love to have you on so we can discuss the goings on of the day. And so many things are going on really in the world. We're seeing the rise of socialism, the rise of globalism, the open borders, people pouring into our country, people pouring into European countries, outbreaks of plagues, Zika virus with mosquitoes. Where did this come from? from the genetically engineered mosquito, which Bill Gates had a hand in. Also, a big outbreak of tuberculosis in one of the states, I can't remember which one, from refugees. And outright, really poor manners of society that we're seeing, and also the poor manners, really, of church folk. I know we have a presidential election coming up, and now, personally, me, I wouldn't vote for anybody that believed in abortion. I don't care what they're promising you, free college, this, that, whatever. There's nothing free. And if anybody, any candidate that's running for any office, if they support the murder of the innocent, then we should not vote for these people. I don't care who they are. So, but Brother Wolf Tracker, we've seen the 500-year anniversary coming up of the Reformation. And, of course, we still see the selling of miracles in the modern-day church. Now, why is that?
Well, it's like anything else, with these false prophets and teachers. They have set up a pyramid scam. It's very easy in this country. It's very easy to set up a pyramid scam. The United States government allows you to incorporate a church. It allows you. The United States government doesn't ask you if you have degrees or if you've been vetted or no. You get an attorney, and you can have them draw papers of incorporation. As soon as you get your seal, and your document, your certificate back, you go to a bank, you open up a bank account, and voila, you have a legalized Ponzi scheme. So these people, they don't want to go to work.
Yeah.
These people don't they don't want to work like you and I work.
Yeah.
They don't want to roll up their sleeves, they don't want to earn their keep by the sweat of their brow. They don't want to make tents like the Apostle Paul. They want to be like Paul. But they want to be praised and acknowledged but they don't want to work like the Apostle Paul. I don't know what Bible these people are reading, because Paul preached day and night, and in between he was earning his keep. He had a secular job. He had his little business of, mending tents and repairing things. And that's how he paid his way.
Yeah.
But today in America, it's legal to have a Ponzi scheme. It's legal to have a racket. It's legal to set up a foundation where people donate money, and then you pay your family members large salaries. And then the money that that's supposed to help people, a very small percentage goes into the actual projects for whom you're raising the money for. So the church does the same thing. They just put a Jesus spin on it. And it's easy money for these clowns. It's just easy money.
Yeah. It really amazes me because, of course, Luther – in his day, and I'm sure there were other reformers before Luther, but he's probably the most famous one. And he came out vehemently against the selling of indulgences, which the Catholic Church still does, where you can buy your way into heaven basically after you're dead by praying rosaries and saying 100 Hail Marys every day and doing your penance and saying masses for the dead. And here we are 500 years later, and it's still going on. It's still going on. And when you look at the church world today, for the most part, the most visible so-called church world on television, you see the selling of miracles on a continual basis. And the fact that these people are still around means that they're still being supported.
Well, that's just it. I mean, that, you know, goes to my the first thing I said. I mean, it's very easy to set up one of these Ponzi schemes. And, you know, you do a song and dance on Sunday morning for 45 minutes or an hour. You tell the people you got a word from the Lord. Come up here. I have a word from the Lord for you. You put a little bit of oil on them. You throw them to the ground. And voila, the three-ring circus begins. And you do that for another 45 minutes, and everybody leaves happy because they got a so-called prophetic word, and the pastor was anointed, and there was a visitation from God. But really, all it is a fleecing center. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Because you could have read your Bible, and God could have spoken to you. And he does speak to you when you read. It's his word to you, to me. To all of us, and it's free.
Yeah,
I you know, anytime I open up my Bible, I don't have to have any money to give to my Bible. My, you know, I don't have to have an offering. I just open it up, and God speaks to me.
Yeah.
But you know, Sister Susan, the other thing is this. I mean, let's get real. In America today, there has been an explosion, a rapid multiplication of Bible institutes, Bible colleges, Bible seminaries, right? Like in Luther's day, there was one seminary.
Yeah.
One college, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, today, in across America, you look at any state in the Union, you look at Florida, you look at Arkansas, you look at Utah, you look at anywhere. California, there's an explosion. There are Bible institutes and Bible colleges and Bible seminaries popping up everywhere, giving degrees, right?
Yeah.
Yet the church is full of stupid people.
Yeah.
You have the Bible. Forget the King James Version. Now you get 26 translation Bibles.
Yeah.
You have every imaginable translation you would want, and people are stupid.
Yeah.
You have Christian bookstores that sell all kinds of books. I mean, the Christian book business is big business.
Yeah.
And yet people are what? Dumb.
Yeah.
So there is an appearance as though we are evolving into a more sophisticated society, a more educated church. But the reality is that there is a dumbing down, a strategic dumbing down of people. And so on the surface, wow, you know, we're Greek and Hebrew and Latin and canon law, and I got my degree, I got my PhD, I got, you know, I saw the other day where Randy White's son, the clown over there in Tampa, Randy White, his son got a Master's of Divinity.
Oh, no.
Well, if his son got a real Master's of Divinity, he would be throwing his father out of the church for being a heretic.
Yeah.
So what good is a Master's of Divinity if you can't identify who a wolf is?
Yeah.
And you cannot earnestly contend for the faith. So you have all of these people earning these degrees, and for what? Because things are getting worse, not better.
Yes. That's a very good point because, for instance, we see Rod Parsley has a Bible college. You can get it's accredited. You can get degrees there. And like you mentioned, Randy White's son goes and gets this degree. But what's the sense? What's the use of all this learning? What are they learning? What are they learning? What, all these years of studying the Bible, and yet they don't know the Bible. What's happening?
Well, again, I go back to the reason why these Bible colleges and these Bible institutes and all, they're popping up because they too are legalized Ponzi schemes. You know, people don't start Bible colleges to break even. People open up Bible colleges to make money.
Yeah.
So it's another, you know, you have a church, you're making money. If you have a Bible college, it's another stream of income. That's how these people are getting rich. But they're turning out dimwits and halfwits and nitwits left and right. I mean, you talk about graduating classes every year. I mean, this Bible Institute has 100 people graduating, and that Bible Institute has 50 people graduating. And every Bible Institute is turning out people. But we're worse off than ever.
It's true. When you think of the thousands of people that came through Oral Roberts University, and they couldn't figure out who Oral Roberts was. He was one of the biggest heretics of all time.
Right. Or how about the guy over there in what's his name, Pat Robinson? How about his school? Why can't people figure out that guy's a loon?
Yeah.
With his master's, I remember when I was a young man coming up in the church. They were telling me, oh, the place to go is Pat Robinson's. Oh, go to Regents University. I said, are you crazy? I said, the guy's a nut. And they were telling me, go to Regents or go to Oral Roberts. I wouldn't go to those. You couldn't pay me to go to those. You couldn't give me a scholarship. I didn't want it. Why? Because it had Pat Robinson's name on it and it had Oral Roberts' name. And as a young man, I already knew these guys were heretics.
Yeah.
Why would I want, or, you know, here's another guy, Jimmy Swaggart. When he had heyday, when he had the Jimmy Swaggart Bible College.
Yeah.
Who would want a degree? I mean, if you got a degree from Jimmy Swaggart Bible College, and then he was caught with those prostitutes, I mean, you would have to take your degree and burn it. You know, how could you put that up on your office wall?
Yeah. You have no credibility.
None whatsoever.
You'd be ashamed of it. You'd be ashamed of it. There was a man that had it going on. I mean, he had a huge Bible college, huge church, packed to the rafters. They don't fill that place anymore. The balconies are empty. There's plants up there. There's a prime example of a man that supposedly knew the word of God, and he couldn't control his lust. He couldn't control himself, and that was his downfall. But we see that now. It's so prevalent because the love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. So we've seen these so-called ministers that run around and they say they represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet all they want is money. They do everything for money. I'm watching some of these. I was watching that Dana Muldoon the other night, that lady, phony lady preacher, and she gets the people all worked up. Oh, she goes up and gives them prophecies, and then she's laying hands on them, and she's singing, and she's dancing, and But none of it means anything because she doesn't care. She just doesn't care about any of those people there. It all comes down to the end of the service when she's going to take up the offering. That's what it's all geared around.
Well, I mean, a couple of months ago, you played an audio of W.V. Grant, right? And he was on Holy Ghost fire, preaching and exhorting the people the organist was playing. I mean, the place was jamming. And then he walks off the pulpit, and what is he doing? Calling his mistress.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all an act. These are actors. These are what Jesus called hypocrites. They're two faces. They learn how to act. They know what buttons to push, what cliches to say, and what promises. What false promises to make people, and they know they can shake the people down. How many times has W.V. Grant has been caught? How many times has that guy been caught doing something?
He went to prison one time. He went to prison.
Did he do any good?
He came out. He said, I have to get a gig. I still have to keep my gig going over here because I'm not going out and getting a job over at the Kmart.
Right.
And he came out, and he went right back to pimping.
And he had people waiting for him.
He did. He still has a church.
And he had a bunch of enablers saying, here, come, fleece us. Here, come,
yeah.
Take our money. Come,
even
come.
After they, even, and the, if you wanted to hear the phone call, I think it's still up on YouTube, or they made him take it down, but the reference, of course, W.V. Grant has been around for many, many years, and he's still on television, but he comes out to his church on a Sunday morning, and he's preaching, and then he's on Periscope while he's preaching, so he forgets to turn his Periscope off. And he goes into his pastoral office, and he picks up the phone, and he calls his mistress. And he's not talking nice to his mistress. He's not saying nice things. I won't go into it. But anyway, they agree that they're gonna hook up in a hotel. And get this, he's going with his wife on a trip, and his wife is also going to be in the hotel. And he's inviting the mistress to stay in another room while he's there with his wife. So the phone call is put up on the internet for everyone to hear. And I think W.V. Grant and his organization were trying to get the people to take it down. But, you know, he still had a church, still has a church. In fact, the Potter's House was the old W.V. Grant church where T.D. Jakes is.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they even bought his house. He had a big, huge mansion. This is before he went to prison, so he kind of lost a lot of his wealth, but he still has wealth. And but back to the amazing part is that people still are there. Because even the other day I turned on Francis and Friends, and of course Jimmy Swagger, he's always talking about the cross. Okay, the cross, we know what the cross is. We know that the cross was important, but the cross, Jesus is our salvation, not the cross. So Francis is reading from, Jimmy Swagger has his own Bible that he wrote, and he puts his own thoughts, after a scripture, he puts his thoughts underneath it. And it says something about the cross, and then the statement after from Jimmy Swagger is in essence that the cross is what saved us. And they take Jesus out of the equation, and he's made a whole doctrine talking about the cross instead of talking about the one who hung on the cross. For us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's like the Roman Catholic Church when they had splinters of the cross of Christ scattered throughout all of Europe, and people would go and look at the, you know, if they had a splinter, if this church had a splinter of the cross of Christ, people would go there and venerate the splinter instead of venerating him, instead of worshiping him who was seated at the right hand of the Father. They're making pilgrimages to these churches. To look at a splinter of the cross. And one scholar wrote, if you took all the splinters of the cross scattered throughout all the churches in Rome, under Roman Catholic Church, you could build Noah's Ark. That's how many splinters there were. That's how many bogus, you know. So it's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, and the thing is, if you go into some of these Catholic churches, they have these altars, and on the altars are these little glass containers. Usually, I think they call it a monstrance, or what? How do you pronounce it? Monstrance. And inside there, and it looks like a sunburst, and it's usually gold with jewels in it, and then there's a glass part, and inside usually is a relic of a dead body or somebody's blood or probably even one of the pieces of the cross, and people go up to it and kiss it, and they venerate it. So, but we kind of see that. We see that same thing today. Now, looking at a video of this preacher lady, Jackie McCullough, and she gets ordained. They're ordaining her a bishop, and anybody could go on YouTube if you wanted to see this. video for yourself, because you won't believe it when you look at it, what you're seeing. And this lady, she's taking it seriously. She's bought into it, hook, line, and sinker. And it's a Jackie McCullough ordination, I think it's called. And there's all these men dressed up like Catholic priests with the red robes on and the hats and the lace going over the top. They call her Catholic. And they at the end of the video, they put a ring on her finger, and they tell the people, now, she's a bishop now, so you can't approach her. You can't come up to her and give her a hug anymore. When you come up to her now, she will put out her hand, and you have to kiss her ring.
Yeah, completely satanic.
Yeah.
And if you read 1 Kings chapter 18, God says to Elijah, don't lose heart, don't be discouraged, don't be dispirited. I have 7,000 who have yet to bow before Baal or to kiss him. The whole kissing aspect in paganism goes way, 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 way back. It's an act of veneration. And so basically what you're doing is when one of these clown bishops sticks out the hand, you are kissing the hand of the agent, the double agent of Antichrist. That's all you're doing. You know, if you put it into modern terms, you're just kissing the hand of a double agent of Antichrist.
Yeah. Because how could anybody that was serious about the Lord Jesus Christ allow people to do such a thing to them?
Well, yeah, I mean, as a preacher, who is, you know, if you're going to be ordained anything, you know, what does the Bible say in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus 1, that anyone who holds any of these positions has to be able to teach, which means you have to have a deposit. You have to know something if you're going to open your mouth. So, What does this person know? I mean, this person is drinking Roman Catholic Kool-Aid and now is going to start serving Roman Catholic Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And that alone tells you the person has disqualified themselves, you know, because you cannot be a servant of Christ and stick your hand out and want people to kiss it, because you disqualify yourself the moment you do that. You do not belong to Jesus. You don't represent him. If you once did, you no longer represent him once you start doing that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a mild form of insanity, really, that you've allowed yourself to go that far with believing that you're somebody going somewhere to happen. Really, it is a mild form of insanity, because
you're being gracious, because to me something has to be not only mentally wrong with you, but now something has to be spiritually wrong with you to now start sticking out your hand and letting people, because when Peter went into the house of Cornelius, right, when you read Acts 10, Cornelius ran to Peter and bowed.
Yeah.
Now, you can't stop people from doing certain things, but Peter said, get up. I'm a man just like you. What are you doing getting on your knees?
Yeah.
That was a Roman centurion used to worshiping the Roman way, and here comes this apostle of Christ says, get up. I am a man just like you. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't you worship God. You don't worship me. So when people start kissing your hand, it's your responsibility to say, don't do that.
Yeah.
That's not of God. But the moment you stick it out and you wait patiently for people to make it to you, and now you are, like you said, you have that mild form of retardation, but then spiritually, something else is going on there.
Yeah. I wonder really with some of these people what really goes through their head. Why do you think that some of them fell out to that kind of thing?
Well, I guess they see their friends, like when I was a young man, there was some churches you had to go to when I was a young man, like go to Rock Church in Virginia. Well,
yeah.
I didn't go. A lot of my friends, I mean, they got into their vehicles and they ran to Rock Church.
Yeah.
I went one time because a friend of mine happened to move to Virginia and he needed somebody to help him move. And I just took the trip with him. And
yeah.
Since I was down there, he says, well, let's go see what this is all about. And I went and I said, this is nothing. This is a hollow shell. I mean, this is boring. There's nothing happening here. This is just dead religion. So I don't know. So all throughout my life, there's been people who want to be part of the in thing. And when you go check out what the in thing is, you find out this is bankrupt. And then other people, you know, they just want to be in the club. And right now, the club is the club of the bishops, the Joint College of Bishops. That's the club now. But as you and I know, throughout the years, there's always been this fad. There's always been this new club. Like years ago, C. Peter Wagner, right? He
yeah.
started the Global Association of Apostles. And a bunch of my friends were joining that. They were joining that at $600 a clip.
Wow.
To be a member, and come on, get your $600, and, you know, they'll give you a certificate and you're an apostle. I mean, there's been all kinds of fads in the church.
Yeah.
And you have to resist being part of any of that garbage. Because,
yeah.
you know, look at it. I mean, it was a $600 membership that had to be renewed every year.
Wow.
So, I mean, yeah. So they had this global association with C. Peter Wagner, Cindy Jacobs, that other nut prophet. I can't remember his name offhand. Just crazy people. Just, you know. And then these people got back and they were all apostles. The husband was an apostle. The wife was an apostle. The kids were apostles. As long as you paid your $600 membership, you can be an apostle. And they gave you a little membership card. And so there's fads in the church. But the big thing that's really going on, the real reason, whether, you know, we can say, well, this one wants validation or this one wants to feel important. The true reason why all of this is happening is because there's an end game. The devil has an end game.
Yeah.
And the end game is that he wants to introduce Antichrist.
Yeah.
And all of these people becoming bishops is just a series of dress rehearsals for the coming of Antichrist. Because when you look at these bishops, the first thing they're told to do during their one-year period, there's a one-year period in which they go around calling themselves a bishop.
Yeah.
And during this one-year period, they are given the time to go take the courses. They have these courses that they take, which are just rubbish. And then they have to come up with the money to buy all of the clothing and the paraphernalia, the pectoral cross and the huge bishop ring that they put on their finger, the crozier, the cassock, the mitre, all the stuff that they have to put on. That's very, all of that is very, that's in the thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So they have to come up with that money within a year's time when they finally get enthroned, what they call enthroned. And then
yeah.
they also have to have a big chair in the church, and that's called a cathedra. And that goes on the platform, the bishop's chair. And so during that one-year period where they're taking these mini seminars, these workshops, they're getting together, you know, and then, of course, you have to have three people sign on your certificate that you are a bishop. Each one of those signatures, I've been told, that depending on the bishop who is signing, you need three signatures. You need a chief consecrator and two co-consecrators. Each one of those signatures is $3,000. You as the bishop, you have to fork over. Now, this has been told to me by three different individuals who were kind enough to be honest with me and tell me, you know, what they had to do. Because I asked them, I said, listen, you were made a bishop. Can you tell me the process? And they told me it's 1 year. You're bishop elect. You come up with the 10 grand for the three signatures. You got to come up with your uniform and all of your paraphernalia. And then after that, you're part of the club.
Yeah.
And then after you're part of the club, you still have to pay dues to the club. So it's another, you know, think about it. You have these churches, you have these Bible colleges. Now you have these colleges of bishops, which college doesn't mean what we think of college. College there is corpus or body. So college means club. It's a club of bishops.
It's a club.
So if you have a church, and if you have a Bible college, and you also establish your own club of bishops, you're rolling in the dough.
Yeah.
You're rolling in the dough. But the end game is what we see in 2 Thessalonians, that Paul tells us by the Spirit of God that there will be a man called the man of sin, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, and he will set himself up in the house of God, in the temple of God, and he will sit on a throne, on a cathedra. And Jesus warned us about the cathedra. Jesus in his gospel tells us, don't go for the cathedra. Don't go for the big seat. Big seat in the church means big boss. That's all it means. So now what you find is in many of these African-American churches, there's a bishop now, and he has a big chair, right?
Yeah.
Just like the Pope has his big chair in Rome.
Yeah, well, remember, we grew up Catholic, and that chair sat in the churches in case the bishop came.
Exactly.
Remember?
That was his chair. Yeah. So what they're doing is, if you get used to having your bishop sit in the big chair, and if you get into that, and if that's okay with you, and you finally, you know, start after the service is over, he's sitting there and you walk up to him and you kiss his ring, and now you make that a weekly habit now, right? You make that. So now it's going to be very easy when the Antichrist shows up, because people are already used to somebody sitting in the big chair and somebody receiving worship.
Yeah.
So it's just a dress rehearsal. It's Satan's way of, you know, putting a little leaven in each church. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
The whole lump. It doesn't take much.
And it's happening already. Because, I mean, these bishops are multiplying like cockroaches in the projects.
Yeah. Yeah, because here's this Miss Jackie McCullough. And then Juanita Bynum was ordained. I don't know. I haven't seen. I guess maybe she was, or it was that
yeah,
silly
she was,
guy.
She was ordained by Morocco Moe, Bishop Ellis from the Bahamas.
Yeah.
But that video hasn't been put out yet.
Oh.
She was ordained the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah. What was her title? The official.
She's bishop now. She's bishop.
Official screamer, the loudest screamer in the
she's
church.
The bishop.
This poor woman, I'm surprised she still has vocal cords because she's always screaming. I don't know. I when I talk, you can call it preaching or whatever, I don't scream. I never screamed when I was preaching. I don't understand. Why do they have to scream? What is the purpose of the screaming?
I don't know. I know Pope Francis doesn't scream.
But he puts you to sleep.
That's it. They torture you in two different ways. Think about it.
Yeah, it is a form of torture.
Yeah, both ways. I mean, you can. It's like Paula White's Boateng, right? Her prophet over there.
Yeah,
you give him the mic, and he starts jumping up and down. The place goes into an earthquake mode.
Yeah.
And he starts screaming. You can't, even when he's talking normal, he has such a heavy accent, you don't know what he's saying.
No,
when he goes into screaming mode, when he goes into, you really lose it. So
yeah,
there's all kinds of torture.
He sweats all over.
While he's
screaming, he starts sweating, and he's sweating all over, and his clothes are wet. I don't know. I mean, the gospel's simple, simple gospel. Nice, mellow gospel. And then they have all these gymnastics that they do at these services to try to get people whooped up. But it always has one goal in mind. It's not about the people, about blessing the people and preaching the gospel. It's always about the offering. It always goes back to the offering. So I wonder if they took up an offering at this consecration service. Do they take up offerings at these consecration services?
No, what they do, from what I heard, is, you know, like when you attend a wedding, the bride has a bag.
Yeah.
So then afterwards, you walk up to the bride and you put an envelope in there and it's packed with money. That's what they do. That's one form. Although, you know, there's not a uniform. I'm sure that you could possibly attend one of these services and they would collect an offering because there's not a uniform way of doing it. You know, each gangster decides how they're going to stick up the bank. So.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, each gangster, because basically that's what they are. They call themselves ministers, bishops, preachers, evangelists, apostles, whatever. But, yeah, they're just a bunch of gangsters. And they get away with it. They get away with their gangsterism because they're, like you said, they set themselves up as churches. So because the Catholic Church, for instance, they've been able to get away with their gangsterism for many, many years since Jesus left, and not too long after he left, and they came up with this idea of having this Catholic Church, probably what Constantine had something to do with it. And they got going with this form of idolatry, bringing back the Old Testament, bringing back the tabernacle and the priestly robes. And so I wonder how it really all got started, because a lot of it does resemble the Old Testament.
Well, it's got started with Constantine, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Constantine was the emperor of Rome, but by de facto, the emperor of Rome was also the Pontifex Maximus.
Huh.
He had the title of pagan high priest.
Oh.
So it's just like the pharaohs of old, right? In ancient Egypt, the pharaoh was not only king, but he was also high priest. Now, what pharaoh did and what what the Roman emperors did was because, you know, the rituals of religion were so many that they delegate, although they kept the title of high priest, they delegated the work of sacrificing and observing the calendars and the rituals and the lighting of the candles. They delegated that to other people under them, but they never gave up the title.
Yeah.
And it was that way in Egypt, and it was that way in Ethiopia, and it was that way in Rome. All the one thing you see throughout history is that the evil of kingcraft was united with priestcraft.
Yeah.
You had kings that were at the same time they were priests. And whenever you combine the two in the church, then that's when things run amok. And this is why you find that Samuel, who was a prophet and a priest, he ordained Saul as king. Then later on, he ordained David. And then later on, when King Uzziah, remember in the book of Chronicles, King Uzziah of Judah, he tried to offer the sacrifice of the priest, and then God struck him with leprosy.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't supposed to enter into the realm of the priesthood, because God always kept those two things separate. God always kept the church and the state separate.
Yes.
Always. Always.
Yes.
Now in the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope is both king and he's also the highest priest. And he got that from Constantine.
Uh-huh.
And when you see the combination of the two, that's when you have trouble.
Yeah, because he one of his titles is the King of Rome.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's why the Pope has three titles. He's called the Bishop of Bishops, he's called the Vicar of Christ, and he's called the Pontifex Maximus. These three titles are emblazed. They are stitched in every garment that he puts on.
Oh.
So he doesn't deny, the Pope does not deny that he is the high priest of pagan Rome. Doesn't deny it. And this is why we have, and that's why now when you look at the church today, when you look at the African American church, now these bishops are now kings, they have a throne, but they're also priests. And from that throne, from that chair, they speak ex cathedra. They speak, and now they're infallible. That's why you can't question your pastor anymore, because he sits on the throne. He's like a little pope. He speaks ex cathedra. He speaks infallibly. And now if you question, what are you doing questioning the Lord's anointed? What are you doing? Because they all drank that Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why, so Constantine started it, and once he became the head of the church, then he started to grant tax exemption. He started to give the churches properties, and that's when we were flooded with all kinds of men seeking high office in the church. And that's when the world came into the church, and it's never left.
Yeah.
It's never left.
I'm going to play this. It's about a 6-minute clip of this, and then we'll discuss it. It's the ceremony from Jackie McCullough for when she was ordained to be a bishop. Anyway, you'll hear some of these things. They talk about canon law. They talk about the significance of the purple robe. And so this is about 6 minutes long, and you'll hear, hopefully the audio quality is okay on this. Here we go.
Have raised up prophets, kings, and priests, never leaving your temple untended. We praise you also that from the creation you have graciously accepted the ministry of those whom you have chosen. Anoint her head carefully. We won't do what she has seen done. We won't pour it. We will anoint her head gently. She's your servant, Lord. You called her back in Jamaica in her mother's womb. You called her name. She heard you, didn't even know what she was listening to. We anoint her ears that she may continue to hear. I anoint her great finger, her thumb, that she might grasp hold of truth and life, and then use these same hands to serve those whom you place in her hand. We anoint symbolically her feet. You don't have to take her shoes off. Just,
hallelujah.
Just, yes, just touch her ankle. That she might walk in paths of light, and then wherever those feet walk, give it to her. And now as Bishop C. Wright continues to lead us in prayer, and then Bishop Hilliard will close us out with the Therefore, Father, make Jacqueline after Bishop C. Wright. We will lay our hands on her. Now listen, the rest of you bishops that are here, you can lay your right hand gently on her shoulder. Don't lay hands on her head and smash her down. Y'all leaning on her and going, no. I'm going to lay hands on her head, and these two co-consecrators lay hands on her head. The rest of y'all can gather around in church or canon law requires. And now it's up to you, Jacqueline, to do what you were called to do. And so I say to you, ordained elders in every city, set in all those things that are wanting. Go without fear. And without faith. And so now we have consecrated you a bishop in God's holy church. And all the people shall hear me. Imagine if brothers to move this first. You know, that's too close for us brothers, so Bishop Carolyn, where's the other sister bishop? Come here, you sister, where did she go? What's her name? Haynes? White Haynes? Whoever it is. Oh, that's all right, use that one and help her to dress. Bishop McCullough. She's wearing first the Roman purple cassock spattered with blood. That's the significance of the color. But the robe is really a slave's garment. We call it cassock. It's a slave's garment. It's a slave. She's a servant.
Thank you, sir.
The white garment that was put on her is the priestly garment. It is the garment. You're going to have to do better than that. You're going to have to stand over there or somewhere up there.
My Lord.
Yeah. This garment, the white garment, is for celebrating the sacraments of our redemption. The red coat that only bishops should wear is the prophet's coat. It is the symbol of inheriting the prophetic office, the principal preacher of Rapha. The stone she's receiving will have coat of arms on it. She'll get another one from the Joint College, but she has her own coat of arms.
I mean, that's pretty heady, huh? She's getting her own coat of arms.
Yeah. And again, all of that is of pagan origin. All of that coat of arms, all of that nonsense, all of that. Christ didn't have a coat of arms. when he ordained the apostles in Matthew chapter 10 and Mark 3 and Luke 7. Jesus didn't give them a cassock, and he didn't give them a crozier, and he didn't give them a skull cap, and he did not give them an episcopal ring, and he did not give them a coat of arms. None of that. You don't find any of that in the Gospels.
Yeah.
Any of it. You don't find any of it until the 500th year of the church. You know, it was in the year 500 when the priest in the Roman Catholic Church started to dress different from the laity.
Yeah.
So this is all nonsense. All of it is just complete. You know, we never read about what color garments Peter wore, what color garments Paul wore.
Yeah.
You don't read about you. Peter and Paul do not tell us when they write to elders and bishops. They don't tell us what color garments they ought to wear. This is the color code for the deacons. This is the color code, you know, for the bishops. Nothing. That's you can't find that anywhere.
Yeah.
It's all. But you know, the guy was speaking there, and he was just telling you, we belong to the apostate church. We belong to the harlot church of Revelation 17. Because I mean, when he said. We have ordained you a bishop according to canon law. What canon law is he referring to? And, of course, he left out Roman Catholic canon law.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't fully tell you it's Roman. And then when he went to the cassock, he said, this is the purple cassock of Rome. Now, all you have to do is read Revelation 17, and you're told that the harlot, the whore, who sits on the beast, which is the Antichrist, the apostate woman, the apostate church who rides the beast in Revelation 17, she's dressed in purple and in scarlet. Well, purple is the color of bishop, and scarlet is the color of archbishops. So the guy's telling, I mean, he didn't even hide it. This is the purple of Rome. And then when he says it symbolizes the blood, well, let me just read to you real quick, Revelation 17. Verse 4 says, and the woman was arrayed, that the woman is the apostate church, she was arrayed in purple and in scarlet, decked with gold, like the ring she got, and a precious golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Now, when he says, you know, it represents the blood, he didn't tell you what blood it was. But Rome is known for shedding the blood of the saints.
Yeah.
So this guy was telling you, you know, we're part of the Antichrist's church.
Yeah.
And then he tells the people, say amen. And they were all amen.
Yeah.
They don't know what they were saying amen to.
No, they didn't. They were hysterical, the group there in the church, dancing, and many of them also had their little outfits on. They had white cassocks on, and then their collars, their Roman collars. And
right, because they represent the priest. So
yeah.
You have the priest, and then you have, I'm sure you had deacons there and archdeacons, because in the Protestant church, you don't have archdeacons. It's only in the Catholic church that you have archdeacons. And even in the Catholic church, you have subdeacons. You have subdeacons, you have deacons, you have archdeacons. I mean, they've made a whole hierarchy and a complete mess out of what the apostles in Christ gave the church.
Yeah.
And they're not hiding. They're not hiding that they're part of the apostate church.
No, they're not hiding. And, of course, Jesus never established any type of a hierarchy.
No, he
did
not.
Because we're all a mess going somewhere to happen at times. And we should never forget where we came from and who we are, really. But these people, it's really pride, too, that makes them think that they're really something, and they can wear these robes, these very expensive garments, and they can wear rings that you have to kiss and you have to kneel down to them. It's really, it's so awful. It's so degrading to the people in the congregation that allow themselves to be abused. It is such a terrible form of spiritual abuse.
Well, think about what the devil offered first the serpent in the garden, and then Adam and Eve. He offered the serpent elevation, and he offered Adam and Eve elevation. Because,
yeah.
You know, the Bible says that the serpent was the smartest animal in the garden. But the
yeah.
serpent had one problem. The serpent could – God never gave the serpent vocal abilities. The serpent could not speak.
Yeah.
So the serpent cut a deal with the devil. The devil says, if you let me speak, now I'll let you express all your ideas. So the snake went for it, right? The snake, I'm going to speak now. I'm going to be a speaker.
Yeah.
I'm going to speak.
Yeah.
Because I got all these ideas, and, you know, I'm sure the devil said to the serpent, you know, God jacked you up because he made you smart, but he didn't give you expression.
Yeah.
Boy, God really cheated you. And so let me help you. Let me help, and I'll give you elevation. And what happened in the end? Well, what did God say to the serpent? Now you wanted elevation, crawl on your belly now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then to Adam and Eve, the devil offered them godhood. You see, and
yeah,
where did they
yeah.
wind up? In the dirt, in the 6 feet under, because they allowed sin to come in. So the devil is offering these same people the same thing, elevation, because when they become bishop, they talk about my elevation. In 1 year, I'm going to be elevated. But elevated to what? You're stupid.
Yeah.
Elevated to what? To level of retarded?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the big thing is, the moment somebody in the church offers you upward mobility, that's the devil, because we're all the same.
Yeah.
We're all on the same level.
Yeah.
We're all God's. We're all members of the household of faith. You know, the pastor doesn't have 100% of the blood of Jesus, and then the members have 60% of the blood.
Yeah.
The pastor doesn't have 100% of the Holy Ghost, and you just got 2% of the Holy. We all have the same. It's all the same. It's all the same. This
yeah.
is complete nonsense. But the devil is offering these people upward mobility, and they go for it, and he's duping them left and right. And, you know, the interesting, because the gentleman said, the gentleman who was consecrating her, the chief consecrator, he said, this is a servant's garment. I recently did a show, a broadcast, where we talked about Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
So I looked at the movie Gone. Now, I didn't see any of the field hands having their hand kissed. So Jackie McCullough, that on the one hand, this
yeah.
guy's telling you she's got
yeah.
a slave garment on. On the
yeah.
next hand, he's telling you to come up. You can't touch her now. You can't touch her like you used to before. Now you got to kiss her ringer. Her
yeah.
thing, a ring. So wait a minute. If she's got a slave garment, why is she acting like Queen Elizabeth?
Well,
so
this goes
talking
back to
out
the
of...
power of suggestion, that whole power of suggestion. And the doublespeak is they put that thought into your mind so that you will believe the lie. It's very subtle, because they tell you on one hand, well, she's a servant, she's a slave. And then they come back and hit you with, but you have to kiss her ring.
Right. It's just like the Pope Francis, right? Oh, he still drives. He still gets on the bus. He
yeah,
still gets
yeah.
on the train like the rest of us.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
But have you seen the plates he eats from, and have you seen how he flies?
The cups he drinks from.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, remember,
please.
He pulls up in that, 747 jet, and then he gets into a Fiat. And yet the story was that, look, he's getting into a Fiat, not a limo. But he just got off his own private 747. But that
exactly.
is... It's such a prime example, though, of the state of the most of the world today, is don't believe what you see, even though you're really seeing that it's phony. They're staging the whole thing to make you believe something, and yet people are buying it.
It's sad.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why, you know, when the reformers broke away from the church, there was no bishops. Luther didn't make himself a bishop.
No.
He was just Pastor Luther. That's it. Dr. Luther, he had earned his degree, rightly so, but he
yeah.
went by Pastor Luther. And he wrote a catechism for children, and it was Luther who was teaching these children the catechism. Luther,
yeah.
the great Dr. Luther, was sitting down with children, giving them their Sunday school.
Yeah.
And today, it's, you know, no, none of these guys don't even preach anymore.
No.
They do nothing. They're bums. They're bums.
Yeah, they're bums. They canned sermons and using somebody else's material for preaching. It's pretty bad when you can't even write a sermon. That's pretty
bad. Exactly. Yep.
If anybody could open a Bible and take a few scriptures and write sermons.
Sure.
But they
don't want to. God,
yeah.
If you're called of God, if God has really called you into the ministry, then he equips you to be able to do that with tremendous ease.
Yeah.
But if you're not called of God, then you have to steal, you have to plagiarize, you have to copy other people's material, like Brian Kahn when he copied the psychic. It's the same thing.
Yeah, he copies the psychic word for word, and then he denies it. He denies that he copied the psychic. Oh,
exactly.
Don't believe what you see, and even don't believe what you hear. I'm telling you what the truth is. So, but we see it in the area of politics. We see it in the area of politics in the church. And like you said, I think that was a great way to put it, is the whole setup for Antichrist, getting people prepared for what's coming, is to worship this beast, to idolize.
And you even, Susan, you even see it in the political world. Look, 8 years ago, we were tired of the way America was going, right?
Yeah.
So the country, when the present president started speaking about hope and change, because people were tired. They were tired of the wars. They were tired of the economy. They were tired of struggling. They were just tired of going to work and not making ends meet. So people went from that president to Barack Obama, right? Now, in eight years, it's still the same mantra. People's lives has not changed for the better.
No.
So now they're grasping at straws. Who am I going to vote for? And they're looking for a savior in the political world. They're looking for a savior. And that's what happens in times of crisis, in times of moral decay, in times of bleakness and darkness. Humanity will go to the bottom of the barrel and scrape up whatever. That's what happened to Germany after the First World War. The Germans were in such dire straits that here comes Adolf Hitler, right? And not that I'm saying that any of the candidates today are Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is there's a common theme throughout history that when the masses are hurting, when the masses are struggling financially, when they can't put food on the table and they can't pay their bills and they're depressed, they will reach and elevate whoever they think is going to bring them economic salvation.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing in the church. You know, if our communities are hurting, then the people turn to the church, and who becomes their savior? Well, the bishop now becomes their savior because he's been elevated. He's got certain powers from God. And all the bishop is doing is taking them to the cleaners.
Yeah.
And the beat goes on, and it's the same song, and it's gonna keep getting bad, because then that'll prepare the world for, because the world is going to be so fed up of things being bad all the time that when Antichrist comes, they're going to run to him. Oh, please help us, please. And
yeah.
That's the big setup.
That is the big setup. Of course, God does use government.
Of course.
And
sure.
But we can't put our faith and trust in the government to do everything for us, because, for instance, when you have a government and most of the government is run by ungodly people, they're not looking toward the interest of the people. They have, if you've ever been around politicians, and just recently I've been around a few politicians, so a lot of politicians have a certain look about them. They learn how to look. They learn how to smile. They just have a way that they've trained themselves to be when they're in a crowd or when they're shaking hands with people or whatever. So it's like that in the church, too, where you have these people. Some of them have charisma. Some of them don't, really. I don't know how they ever got popular, some of these people. But people seem to gravitate toward them. And they don't mind enriching them either. People don't seem to mind that they're living, maybe they don't own a home, they don't even own a car, they're not making enough money to live, but yet they don't mind going to church and giving their preacher 10% every week so their preacher could have a nice house and a nice car. Well, they say, well, he deserves it. He's the pastor. I know I've said this before, but one church I went to, on the pastor's wife's birthday, they gave her a baby grand piano for her living room, about a $5,000 piano. Now, when it was my birthday, I didn't even get a card. I didn't even get a happy birthday on my birthday. And when it was the pastor's birthday, they bought him a boat so he could go out and have some fun, plus the salary that they both received from the church and the housing expense that they received. And so it never ended, but it also is a form of preacher worship, of idolatry, to idolize these people. Of course, they should be paid for the work that they do, but they don't deserve extravagant gifts from a congregation that can hardly afford to live themselves. We were talking about this a couple weeks ago when Paula White, she's taking ministry money out of her church and she's going and decorating lounges in schools for the teachers. And I'm sure there's people in her church that would like somebody to come and buy them a bedroom set and fix up their living room and maybe paint their kitchen some widows or whatever. No. What did she do so that she could curry favor with the school board? She fixes up teachers' lounges. Like, that's what tax money is for, not tithes and offerings. You know, just ridiculous. And people are going for it. They're going over there. They're volunteering. They're painting and fixing the furniture and everything. It's just insane. It really is insane.
It's insane, but that just goes to show how much work we have cut out for us. And because, you know, really, it's this dumbing down. You know, when you look at the public school system or any school system, there has been a dumbing down.
Yeah.
And even in television, what television program can you watch today where there isn't a form of dumbing down or leavening you with moral contamination?
Yeah.
So, you know, the video games that are designed, they're designed for you to be dumbed down. Almost everything now being put out there is to get you, you know, and I believe, see, I also have this theory that that's one of the reasons why Alzheimer's is on a rise, because people now for quite some time have not been using their brains like they used to.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't have any medical, research to back this, but I see all of this happening simply because we're not using our brains, we're not thinking, we're more into sitting down, being entertained, and the word amusement. You know, most of our churches have become amusement churches. If your listeners would look up the word amusement means no mind.
Oh.
In other words, when you're being amused, when you go to a church and it's all about entertainment and it's called amusement, when you go to amusement park, you're not using your mind.
Wow.
Amusement means not using, and this is what we're getting in our churches, tons and tons and tons of amusement and entertaining, but nobody's really using their mind.
Let me just play this last clip here.
Sure.
And then we'll talk about it with the they're talking about the apostolic succession here. Let's
sure, sure, this. Sure.
when the first one was sent, we had to resend that one. This one is her, the apostolic bulla, or bull. It is the announcement saying that she will be bishop. She is. Just hold it for a minute. Someone will take it. This is the certificate that says she is. Signed by the fellows in the induction. This is the certificate of apostolic succession. Now, let me tell you about succession. This succession certificate. This names everybody from Jesus Christ through the Apostle Thomas, who went into the east, the far east, to spread the gospel. The church kept records. And through 2,000 years, the name of who laid hands on whom, all the way down to the ones who laid hands on me, within that line of succession. And now, I, Bishop Caesar, Roderick Caesar, has the same apostolic succession from the Western Strain. I know, because Bishop Montgomery participated in your consecration. Bishop Sherrill has that apostolic succession. I know, because I laid hands on her. And so the three of us, and there was somebody else that signed it, whom I knew had succession. Donald Hilliard and Horace Smith. And we are the grantors of succession to Bishop Jacqueline Eulalie McCullough. And I do what Bishop McKinley did. I say what he said to me when he laid hands on me. I pass it on to you. Now you must guard your hands, and especially your right hand. See to it that you don't lay hands on an unworthy, or you'll create a bastard in the bishopric. And that ruins the line. Don't be shy about saying no. I'm sorry, I can't vest. I cannot come. I cannot. I'm forbidden. You don't have to explain to them that they're doing it illegitimately. They don't have to go through all that. They know they're illegitimate. Soon they...
Yeah, bastards. He's talking about bastards in the bishopric. We can do a whole show on that.
Yeah, really, we should. Don't pollute the line of succession.
Yeah,
well, it's already polluted. I got news for you over there.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, they traced their succession all the way back to the apostles. Can you imagine?
Well, Lexi did a show in which she had this bishop from Atlanta called Jerry Hutchins.
Uh-huh.
And he was serving up that Kool-Aid on her television program, that he can trace his succession all the way back to Peter. So I challenged the guy. I did a couple of broadcasts asking Lexi to help me get him on the show.
Yeah.
Because I would like to know, because he says, and she asked him, she pressed him. She says, you can trace it all the way back? And he says, I can trace it all the way back. Well, you know, the Roman Catholic Church in their two standard encyclopedias, and they're two massive encyclopedias, you will find that the Roman Catholic Church tells you that they do not have a complete list on the popes. In fact, they will give you three different lists, and all three lists have challenges.
Yeah.
Right? Now, that's the Roman Catholic Encyclopedia. They're telling you that they have three variant lists. So right now if you were to go from Peter, and if you were to say, okay, he's Pope one, which he's not, and you go to Pope Francis, the one we have now, you would have 265 popes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would say to this guy who just said to Jackie, you have apostolic. Okay. Now, give me your list. Let's do a show and let's rattle off the names, because I want to know. You say you can trace it back. So let's trace it back. Let's go all the way back, because I have anybody who has access to the Roman Catholic encyclopedias. They provide you the list there, the numerous list, right?
Yeah.
So if you go to those lists and this guy is rattling off names, you can follow, and then you can say, okay, now that list you just gave us, that list has big question marks, and here it is. The Roman Catholic Church tells you that list has big question marks. Okay, you're going off of this list? Well, the Roman Catholic Church tells you that list has question marks. And so they're saying that to people who don't know the deal.
Yeah.
But if they were speaking to somebody like us, then we would say, wait a minute, hold up. Now, he says, don't produce a bastard in the bishopric. Well,
yeah.
When you go through that list, there was a bunch of bastards in the list. The popes had mistresses.
Yeah.
And they had bastard children, and those bastard children became popes.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
So if he was to rattle off any of those names that I have circled, okay, this one's a bastard, this one over here's a, okay, well, you said don't pollute the line, but this guy's polluted. He polluted it. And
yeah.
You're claiming that he ordained you by succession. And when you go all the way back, I mean, you got all these bastards in there.
Yeah.
Sons of prostitutes.
Yeah.
So these guys they're talking nonsense.
Yeah, they talk nonsense.
That parchment, you might as well throw it in the latrine.
Yeah.
It's no good. It's garbage.
Yeah, he was holding up a parchment, yeah, and claiming that there was apostolic succession. Like I said, people, if you wanted to see this actual ordination of this woman, Jackie McCullough, it's on YouTube. Jackie McCullough ordination. It's McCullough, I think. But even if you misspell her name, it'll come up. But you can see this whole video
bizarre.
For yourself. Yeah, it's very bizarre. Very, very bizarre. It was very disturbing, really, that someone would allow themselves to be treated like that. That was one thing about public ministry when I was in public ministry and going out and preaching and being, of course, when you're up on a platform, you're elevated above the people. So that's number one. And then people want to look up to you. Sometimes they want to touch you. They want your autograph or whatever. And you can't buy into that stuff. You know, you can't start enjoying your own press. And you can't really allow people to do that to you, because once you start elevating yourself above the people and you start liking it and you start compromising, then you're really in big trouble.
You know, it reminds me of what you're saying now, reminds me of the book of Acts chapter 14, where Paul and Barnabas are on their first missionary trip and they're preaching in Derbe.
Yeah,
and the people. Paul did a miracle by the power of God. He a paralytic man was raised, and so the people start saying to Paul and Barnabas, "You are gods. You're gods." And immediately, when the people started to take Paul and Barnabas and put them on their shoulder and lift them up, Paul and Barnabas said, "Don't do this." And Paul and Barnabas rent their garments because they didn't want the people putting them on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, they got beat. Both of them got beat up. Well, it's better that you get beat up by a crazed crowd than that God put you out.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because remember what happened to Herod, big mouth Herod, and then he got eaten up with worms. So
exactly.
You better watch your big mouth. You need to fear God. We need to fear God. God is awesome. He doesn't take lightly abusing people in his son's name, especially after the tremendous price that's been paid. So anyway, Brother Wolf Tracker, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this program today, and we'll have to do more on this history. Of course, 500 years celebrating, going into the time of celebrating the 500th year of the Reformation. And we're trying to finish the Reformation is what we're trying to do as ministers of the gospel, trying to stop the miracle selling and the selling of our Lord Jesus Christ for people selling him out for fame and fortune. So we hope to finish the Reformation before all of it ends. But I want to thank you for coming on. So tell people about your program.
Yeah, I recently got back on the air after a short hiatus. It's the Wolf Tracker broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And right now we're doing a lot of talking on this particular subject, the Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church. And we're still doing a little bit of wolf tracking, even though the wolves are dying down. We're still doing a little bit of that and devoting much time to this, because next year, 2017, will mark this this milestone in church history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we hope to make some church history ourselves in the name of Jesus, to bring back the simplicity of the gospel and to bring back real love in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to thank you for coming on, and we'll
thank
have
you
back again.
Me.
I enjoyed it very much. Thank you. All right, everybody. I want to thank you all for tuning in today, and everybody that called, everybody in the chat room. Thank you so much for stopping by. We are celebrating our seventh year. We've been on the air since 1999, which is very hard to believe. It went by so fast. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? But all our programs are archived on Blog Talk Radio, so every program we've ever done, we've done hundreds, are archived for your listening pleasure, for your education. Don't forget to email me if you have any questions or show ideas, susan@propheticnews.com. And my YouTube channel, Susan Puzio, also our website, Prophetic News, and my book. Oh, don't forget the book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. That is available on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble. The Kindle version's on Amazon. It's available on Lulu. And it's a great gift. If you have any flaky friends that are into this whole seed faith prosperity movement, it's a great gift to give them, to help them come out. But don't forget, the most important thing is to ask Jesus Christ into your life today. He is your Lord and Savior. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and save you. He loves you. Read the third chapter of John, where Jesus said you must be born again. Read the book of Romans, and the book of Romans says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You can receive eternal life and a brand new life today in Jesus Christ. He loves you. He gave his life for you. And being a Christian is a wonderful life. You'll never regret your decision. Never. So God bless you all. Don't forget to come back next week. We'll have another program for you, and God bless.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven. city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.